Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Peace be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings. I am your host, Michael Sahir, and you get tuned in to Words Make People. Today we're going to play a repeat program. It was done about 6-7 years ago for this very good topic. It's titled Jesus Christ, His Birth, Death, and Resurrection. And we follow in the thinking and commentary of Imam W.B. Muhammad on this topic. We're going to begin that here shortly, but I do want to say a few words for today. Today is December 3rd, 2023, and we will begin playing the actual talk in about 5-10 minutes. Just want to say a few things that I think are heavy on our minds and heart at this time. So let me just begin with this Fatiha, because we always begin with words of the Quran. And Imam W.D. Muhammad, he gave us a procedure for reciting the Fatiha, and it's seven stops, as he referred to it. Just give me about 15 seconds to get my book so I can give it to you correctly. I'm coming from the book that we are working on diligently, and me and you all have been patiently waiting for the revised edition for the commentary on selected verses of the Quran. I guess just know this much for right now. Allah has blessed us to make progress on getting the book reproduced. And just be patient with us a little bit longer, and inshallah, we'll have the book available for everyone to share, to read, and to study from. But Imam W.D. Muhammad, regarding that Fatiha, he gave us a procedure for reciting that Fatiha. And in it are seven stops. He wanted us to be very conscious of these seven stops. And I wanted to try to find the page so I could read it to you directly from as he gave it to us. And he refers back to chapter 15, verse 87 of the Quran, chapter 15, verse 87 of the Quran. And Ibn Muhammad was saying, I'm reading that from the book on page 24. He says, when you read that Fatiha in Arabic, you can read it in many ways. You can read it line by line. It is okay. This chapter of the Quran is described in the Quran as the seven matching verses, seven that come in twos. Mathana means two. And just a little side note, for those of us who count the Arabic, Wahid is one, Ithman is two. But from the word Ithman, you get the word Methana. They come from the same root, which means two. So the Imam Muhammad is saying Methana, twos. Methana is the Arabic word. He says, we want to stop seven times. And he gives it the first one. He says, down seven times in reciting that Fatiha. He says, first one is, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That's the first one. The second one is, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Then you pause or you stop. Just for a second or two. Then you go, third one. Maliki yawmiddin. Stop. Fourth one. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Stop. Fifth one. Ihdinas sirata mustaqim. You stop. The next one, the sixth one. Sirata ladina and amta alayhim. Stop. And the last one. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim walad dallin. That's the seventh one. Imam Muhammad says, that is what we want. So for those of us who are students, the Imam has spoken. He said, that is what we want. He says, let us establish the reading of Al-Fatiha that way where we make seven stops. He continues, Imam Muhammad says, this is leadership. You establish what you believe to be the logic. Do not buy it from other people if it is not agreeing to what you believe the logic to be. And he explains, he says, the first stop comes at the end of the opening. Right, the opening is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, that's the opening. You stop. He said, the second stop comes at the end of Ayat 3. So, dear believers, listen real close to what I'm saying, what the Imam Muhammad is saying. He said verses 2 and 3. So what is he doing? Imam, he's combining Ayat 2 and 3 and making it one Ayat. This is what the Imam is establishing here. Okay, so he says the second stop comes at the end of Ayat 3, verses 2 and 3, stopping at the end of verse 3. That is the second stop. In the Quran, Allah, highly glorified is He, says this chapter is revealed with seven matching verses that come in twos, dual, D-U-A-L. So the last paragraph, Imam Muhammad says, now let us study what we have established. Number one, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So Imam said, where are the twos? He said, the two is ar-Rahman, ar-Rahim. See the pair? Ar-Rahman and ar-Rahim is the pair. Imam says, two. You say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But he asked the question, where are the two? He said, we praise and we repeat it. It is the same thing, but we said, of all the worlds. So the two matching is to match what is in the first ayat with Rabbil Alameen. That is, God is Lord of all the worlds. Of all of the worlds, not the Lord of Israel. The Bible says that the Lord is the Lord of Israel, and it doesn't say it is the Lord of anything else. So it always says the Lord of Israel, never the Lord of anything else or of the people. Amen. Since I read the Bible, you can recall it saying the Lord of, you can recall it saying the Lord. See, you cannot recall it saying the Lord of anybody else. The Bible says the Lord, who is the Lord. The Bible says Lord of Israel. Man said Allah is Lord of all the worlds. So, Imam Muhammad goes on to say that if each of those two, like the first one and the second one, is Allah bin al-Rahim. The third one, Maliki Yawm al-Din. You got Maliki and you got Yawm al-Din. That's the pair. And Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. Na'budu and Nasta'in is a pair. So the Imam, he told us, he said, this is what we want to establish, that we make seven stops and when reading Al-Fatiha. Wanted to make seven stops. There's a book put out by my brother. Oh, I left it at the house. Not at home right now. I'm at the masjid. But we can get to that. So just wanted to mention that to believers. And also you see an email, one of the books put out by Imam Rana Shaheed, where Imam Muhammad wants us, for those of us who want to accept it, you don't have to accept it, he says. For those of us who are students, the seven stops in reciting the Fatiha. One more comment before we begin playing our program today, and that is we want to continue to keep our hearts and minds sensitive to the injustice being done against the Palestinian people in Gaza. Along with that, as Muslims, we keep our hearts and minds open to the innocent Jewish people as well. We have to do that. We have to follow the example of our Prophet Muhammad. He was a man for justice for the innocent, whether they are Muslim, Christians, or Jews. He was a man who stood for justice for those who were being mistreated. So for the innocent Jews that were killed on October 7th, our heart goes out to them as being the innocent. But then we also look at the history as well, the history of the abuses. We're doing of at least 75 years of abuses of the Palestinian people. Our hearts go out for that. And they say upwards down to 15,000 Palestinians. And keep in mind now, the majority of Palestinians are Muslims. All Palestinians are not Muslim. There are hundreds of thousands of Christians who are Palestinian. So don't let anyone sell you the idea that this is Jews against Muslims. It's just human beings against human beings, that they are killing innocent human beings. We cannot be a part and parcel of the innocent of killing of human beings. And this is this next point, me speaking personally. I voted for President Joe Biden, and I like President Joe Biden, but I'm 100% against what he's doing now, sending billions of dollars to a rich country to kill innocent people. I'm totally against that. Now, that's just me speaking as a person. I find no justification for that. For people who are Palestinians being in the open air prison for many, many years, can't move, don't know where the food gonna come in for sure. They have to depend upon the Israeli government for water, et cetera, and power and electricity. And you have them in that situation, and you go in there and bomb them, knowing you killed the innocent people. But my U.S. tax dollars is going to that. I'm 100% against it, because you can't justify using American tax dollars anywhere in the world to kill innocent people. Well, yeah, we know it's been done. It's quite going to be done again. We don't like it. And the Prophet Muhammad says, you see it wrong, change with your hands. If you can't speak out against it, well, I'm speaking out against it. I think many of y'all may agree. Just a couple more announcements before we play our recording. Next week, we'll be in Newark, New Jersey for the Muslim Journal of Grateful. If you have never been to the Muslim Journal, a time to be grateful, you are missing a treat. Me and my wife, we have been to quite a few of them in Bermuda, Washington, D.C., Houston, Texas, Los Angeles, Kansas City, Louisville, Kentucky. And now this year is going to be again in Newark, New Jersey. So maybe next year it's going to be in Miami, Florida, I've been told. So you can begin to save some money because it is a wonderful, wonderful event. We are supporting our Muslim Journal newspaper. That's our institution. And it's up to us to look out for the welfare of our paper. So you can go to MuslimJournal.net and subscribe to the paper. You may even consider registering for the convention. But I'm telling you, if you can go, do go. If you haven't been, please go next time. You will not be dissatisfied. My last announcement is that this is Words Make People, this program. But every week we have productions, every day of the week, I'm sorry, we have productions on this. Our station is called Station IWDM, created by Brother Khalid Islam. May Allah forgive him for his sins, bring him to paradise. My brother has passed on, but he has established a wonderful institution, the station. So I'm on today with Words Make People, but on Mondays we have a program called El Islam-Based Conversations, with Imam Pasha, and that's at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so he invites you to join him on a journey to discover the light of truth. Yes, every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which would be 3 p.m. West Coast time. On Tuesdays, there's another wonderful production called The Science of Health and You with Rashid Salam out of St. Louis. This program deals with health issues and concerns that that we really can benefit from. It's a wonderful program. It is a wonderful production. That's with Brother Rashid Salam every Tuesday at 7 p.m. On the same station called the same number you called today. On Wednesday, we have Brother Mark Shahid from St. Louis. He says the STL. So we see the STL. St. Louis, Missouri. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. No, sorry, every Wednesday, I'm sorry. Every Wednesday, 7 p.m., called the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And he comes back again on Thursdays at 7 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time, which would be 4 p.m. on the West Coast, with the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, followed by the MGM Roundtable. On Fridays, my master here in Indianapolis, we have our Friday Juma Prayer at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Friday. Then on Saturday, we got a wonderful production called the Muslim Book Reading Club. That's every Saturday at 1 p.m., which is 10 a.m. on the West Coast. And we are reading from the book written. It's a wonderful book. Oh, my goodness. It's titled The Mother of a Nation, Sister Clara Evers Muhammad, and written by Dr. R. Zakiya Muhammad. May Allah forgive her for her sins. In her paradise. A wonderful book, detailed book. It really captures the essence and the spirit of the overall society that produced a Clara Evers Muhammad and bringing it in on up to where we can appreciate the environment that made her and her husband, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's all I have for in the announcements right now. If anybody have a question on those what I mentioned from the beginning about the seven stops of El Fatiha, it may take a minute or two for that. If you do, you can press one on your phone. That would be the only thing I will be talking about at this time here. But if there's no comments on that, then we will begin our program today. And this right here was a program we done back in 2017. And it's an excellent conversation. So let me let you know now, you're going to hear some commercials and you're going to hear some more things that I'm going to try and get us through because it is a recording. And so it means that all the commercials they played and all that will be heard too. So yes, bear with this next portion as we go through the opening. And you also hear our theme song, and then you will hear commentary from the Quran that we've done at that time, because we always read from the Quran. This show is called Words Make People, and the best words for making human beings are the words of revelation. So sit back and enjoy. Call a friend. I don't know, you may want to get a pencil and pen out and take some notes. But here we go. Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Words Made People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir, along with my co-host, Brother Mustafa Abdullah. Brother Mustafa, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, rahmatullah, brother Imam.
Yes, sir, alhamdulillah, praise be to God. We're here again for another segment, portion of Words Made People. We have a topic today. We hope we'll be enjoyed by all people, not just Muslims, but Christians as well. The topic would be the death, resurrection, and return of Jesus, Christ Jesus, according to the teachings of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And we know this topic here is discussed a lot. I'm not sure how often that we as Muslims discuss it outside of our mosque or our own groups, but I think it will do a big service to humanity if we had a more open discussion on it and engage people, not just Muslims, but people of other faith traditions, to join us in this conversation. As we always do, we begin Words Made People with a reading from the best source of words, and that is the Holy Quran, the Word of God, revealed to Muhammad, but a mercy to all the creation. So we will read a short portion today. We will read from chapter 23, ayat 50. And before we read the Quran, it is such a special book. Before reading the Quran, we have to prepare ourselves. We just don't read without the proper preparation, and that is to get our mind in the right state, in the right mode of thinking. And we do that by saying two phrases. The first phrase in English is, I seek protection with God from Satan, the rejected enemy. And we say that in the Arabic, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And then the second phrase that we say in getting our mind right, we say, Bismillah ar-Rahmanir Rahim. And that is to say, with the name of God, the merciful, benefactor. And all Muslims, we know to do that before reading the Quran. And we read here, it says, and we made the son of Mary and his mother a sign. And here it says, وَجَعَلْنَا إِبْنَ مَرْيَمْ وَأُمَّتُ إِيَاتٍ. And that is to say, Ayatin, forgive me, Sadakullahu Aladin. And that is the first part of this verse where Allah says in the Quran that we made Mary, we made the son of Mary and his mother a sign. Mm-hmm. And that is very important for us as Muslims, that we, as we have our discussion today, that we keep in mind that Christ Jesus and his mother Mary, given to us in the Quran, is given to us as a sign. And then, let me see, I'm going to get some other versions of the same reading from the Quran, different translations, and see what are they saying as well. I found that to be very helpful to get a better understanding. And so when you look at the Muhammad Asad translation, it says, we made the son of Mary and his mother a symbol of our grace. And Muhammad Pickball says, and we made the son of Mary and his mother a portent. A portent also means a sign. Alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. Do you have any comments, Brother Mustafa, you want to share at this time?
Well, Brother Imam, you know, the reading is clear. The reading is clear, and I think where a lot of us, you know, coming up in the church was blinded at, we didn't look behind the reading, or we didn't get an understanding or what Mary represented, or even the son represented. And being a student of Imam Muhammad, he brought that to light, and he shined light on just not reading the words on the page, but try to get an understanding of what things represent, you know, when you read them. So, yes, sir. We'll talk further more on it as we get into the research.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so it says, and we made the son of Mary and his mother a sign. We gave them both shelter on high ground, affording rest and security, and furnished with springs. So they were lifted up to a higher position, a lofty position. And as we know, as Muslims, we know that the most honored of all women in the Quran is Mary, the mother of Jesus. As a matter of fact, there is no woman more lofty or held in a higher position than Mary, the mother of Jesus, and that's for all of Islam, that she's given a very noble status forever. And so, and I know some may think, well, would not the most honored woman be the wife of the Prophet, maybe Khadijah or Aisha, or maybe his mother, Amina? He says, no, the most honored of all women ever to be is the Virgin Mary. And I emphasize that the Virgin Mary. It's very similar as taught in the Bible, in the Christian religion, that Mary, the Virgin. So, alhamdulillah. I did want to, Brother Wally Kareem wanted to have some comments to make. I don't see his number yet on the computer screen here. But Brother Wally, if you are on, you can press 1 on your phone and then want to discuss their program before we get into our topic. But before we get to Brother Wally Kareem, I think I see him now. Before we get to him, we want to just make sure we have covered what we wanted to cover on this ayat from the Quran that when it says that God made Jesus and God made his mother Mary, and they are made to be a sign, you know, and a sign is to give us guidance, to give us direction, to give us focus, saying that we are going somewhere. A sign is also saying that you have not arrived to your destination. You're on the road to your destination, but you have not got there yet. And it kind of reminds me, Brother Mustafa, it reminds me of the reading in the Bible when Jesus says, I can't tell you all things now. I think it begins off, he says, that it is expedient that I go away.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I can't tell you everything right now. He said, but I see one translation says, how be it when he comes, and when the comforter comes. That he will tell you the truth of all things, and he will tell you the truth about me. So that's even an indication from that reading of the Bible that there was something special coming after Christ Jesus. So when we read in the Quran says Jesus and his mother Mary are a sign. We're a sign that's saying the same thing. You're not there yet, but there's something coming. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Another thing coming to my mind, don't remember as you're speaking.
Yes, sir.
You know, some audience, some people that, you know, as we come around, when you give credit to the person who turned the light on for you, if you're sitting in a dark room or walking down a dark alley, you're thankful for the person that shows up with a flashlight or turn on a light for you. So as we study and go through this conversation today, I have to continue to thank Imam W.D. Muhammad for shining the light on so many of us. Because we, you know, studying growing up, and we just didn't look at things the way we look at it now. Seeing what the sign meant. If you're traveling on a long trip, and you're going down Highway 55, and you never see a sign to St. Louis, 200 miles, or, you know, Chicago, 70 miles, you think you're on the wrong highway, going the wrong way until you see a sign. So Imam Muhammad has opened our eyes to we understand what it means when the Quran tells us, or the Bible tells you that was a sign to point us in a direction that we're trying to get to, you know. And as we go through this, I'm going to continue to thank Imam Muhammad for a lot of putting me in this time for me to be one of his students, where he shined the light on them to have an understanding even what the word mother represents, you know.
Yes, sir.
So as we put Mary, a lot of people with her in Grand Ole Paradise, and I lost this place, you know, we understand that this is where we should put all women. This is where we should respect all women, you know, and give them the same respect that we would give to Mary. And just let people know that Muslims just don't treat women any kind of way just because of what's out here on TV. So we'll continue on. And that was on my mind to continue to thank them for sharing the light.
Help me. Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. Praise be to God. Okay, well, we're going to come back and get further into the conversation. We're going to encourage our listeners at that time to join with us. But at this time, with our reading done of the Quran, Sadiq Allah al-Azim, Allah has spoken my truth. We always say that upon completing reading the Quran. At this time here, we're going to go to our brother Wally Kareem in Chicago, working hard on the program with the Leadership Legacy Group. Brother Wally Kareem, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, rahmatullah, and my brother.
You've been fine, sir. You yourself?
Excellent.
Yes, sir. He's loud and clear.
Praise due to Allah. Yes, I was just listening to that profound wisdom that you expounded in the Holy Quran, and it's very beautiful the way you laid it out, and the brother that's also sharing it with you. I would just like to express our thanks to you for giving us the privilege to invite the public community of the Muslims as well as non-Muslims who are interested in advocating the progressive leadership legacy of our blessings that Allah has given us in the personage of the Imam Warifdi Muhammad, Rahim Allah Alayhi, and his father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We cannot take these two blessings for granted. We have to show our appreciation and our dedication to the cause in which we were brought into the life, given teachings of Al-Islam proper. And it's up to us and our obligation to carry it further into the world of non-believers and to invite them. And it's up to Allah to make Muslims as we know. We will only be the recipients of those that want to come if Allah decides for them to come. So we're going to do our part as long as Allah bless us to carry this out. And that's what we are obligated to do as Muslims. Being one of the Imam Muhammad's duty team over the 35 years of his mission, we decided after he made his transition that he always emphasized that we should express Al-Islam in the most intelligent way. And we want to continue this deen as citrus the best we can, and we want to study hard and to carry this out. And we are now going to have our 8th annual event in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, inshallah, this coming Saturday and Sunday. And we hope that you, yourself, and those believers in Indianapolis and various other places in the surrounding area will come to participate with us. And
I'm just preparing to be there.
Yes, sir, alhamdulillah. And would you please, when you get a chance, I'm gonna go back to my meeting. I was in a meeting, so I'm going to go back. But we're trying to finalize some things. So I appreciate all you've done for us, brother Imam. And we pray a lot.
Well, just tell us real quick. Yeah, before you go, just give us again the time, the date, and I understand there's a banquet. There may be a call for the banquet. Why don't you give us a little bit more detail and also a number for the people to call if they wanted to reach you?
Yes, sir. Just one second. Just 1 minute.
You sound like you're looking busy planning for next week.
Just 1 minute, bro.
Okay, yeah, okay. because that is a very important event next week in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I'm looking forward to being there myself. Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry, brother.
You got the flyer? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I have to get it out of my case.
Okay.
Very shortly. The Progressive Leadership Legacy Association presents its 8th annual tribute banquet for Imam Waridin Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, hosted by the W. Dean Muhammad Islamic Center in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The host is Brother Imam Salim Alameen. Saturday and Sunday, October 22nd and 23rd, 2016. The address is 4200 North Holden Street, Holton Street. That's H-O-L-T-O-N, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Doors open at 11. Event donation, $40. Table of 10, $400. Hotel accommodations at the Radisson in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 7065 North Fork Washington Road. It's in Milwaukee, a suburb of Milwaukee.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give you the phone number to the hotel. It's 414-351-6960. And just give them the name.
Okay.
W. Dean Muhammad Islamic Center. You get a rate of $79 per night.
Yes, sir. Did you get a phone number for yourself?
Yes, sir. Phone number for myself is area code 773-206-6616. Either you can call 773-946-7264. That's Secretary Zakir Sadiq. And my name is Wally Kareem.
Yes, sir.
You can call either one of those numbers and you can get more further information. So we appreciate all of those
who
attend and pass the word. We thank you very much, and may Allah continue to bless you with success.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for that information, and we're looking forward to coming and supporting. I do want to ask one question now. The proceeds from the event, do they go to a particular cause or a particular?
Yes, sir. The proceeds for the event goes to the cause of exercising the dawah. We plan on exhibiting the dawah team here in Chicago. We're going to buy a bus. That's our plan, buy a bus, and we're going to do a mobile dawah team throughout Chicago. And also we plan on starting a food pantry here in Chicago to feed the hungry. So these are some of the things that our leader had established with the CPC when we were distributing food when he was first came in office. As you recall, the CPC began the food pantry distribution. We got to resume that operation here in Chicago, inshallah. You still there, buddy, man? Hello?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's speaking.
Okay.
His phone dropped from me. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm back. Yeah. We want to thank you for that information. And we're looking forward to being there. Yes, sir. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Inshallah. I'll see you next. You're very welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. That is a very good program, what they're doing. He mentioned the word dawah. I guess for those who may not know, that's the effort to continue to teach and to propagate the teachings to everyone. So we want to give them our support however we can. Let's get into our conversation, and we do highly encourage our listeners, if they have any questions or comments to make along the way, you're more than welcome. We will work you into the conversation. But I want to begin reading a couple of thoughts, if I may, Brother Mustafa. I think it may help us get started.
Yes,
You know, and Imam W.D. Muhammad's last major Juma, as you recall, in Detroit in September of 2008 at the National Muslim Convention. During the Juma talk, the Friday service, the main Islamic service on Friday, during that talk, Imam Muhammad put a lot of emphasis on the phrase being Christ-like. And that's, it may sound a little bit unusual. So, you know, why would a Muslim imam of a large community, nationwide, really international community, why would he on the Muslim's main day stress, you know, being Christ-like? He even cited Dr. King, and his work was following the Christ essence. And so, and that right there is very important for us to think about, in particular those of us who are students and followers of Imam Muhammad, as to why would Imam Muhammad use those phrases. And in my own mind, this is just Michael Sahir thinking out loud, it happened at the last major Juma. And so Imam Muhammad didn't plan for that to be his last major Juma. Allah did. And so it just kind of lingers in my mind, you know, why was that so? You know, why was that emphasis put on that topic during the last Juma? Also, another comment I want to make is as we speak of Christ or being Christ-like, etc., I'm going to encourage everybody to the best of their ability to remove from your mind, remove from your thinking the old understandings, I'll say it that way, that burden our minds. And what I'm saying, to be quite emphatic, remove from our minds that physical picture that we have been given by Christ Jesus. I'm saying remove from our mind the Caucasian image that's been given to our mind. Why do I say that? Because the Caucasian image leads to racism. So let's remove that white image. And if you have taken and went and bought a black one, get that one out too. Get rid of all the racial images that we have been given. And we were told that was Christ. Get that out your mind. Also get from your mind the image of a male. Because having that image presented as a male, Brother Mustafa, and to our listeners, mm-hmm. that promotes sexism. Good. That gives the male gender a artificial feeling of I'm nearer to God than females. So we remove the Caucasian image or the white image. There may be a black image. Get that out your mind. That will block you from seeing Christ. Get rid of the male image that promotes sexism that will prevent you from seeing Christ. Also, get out of your mind the idea of Christ as Jewish. That leads to nationalism. As if one nation has an advantage, undue advantage over another. And I add this in too, that when you look at the last sermon, as it's called, of Prophet Muhammad, upon him be peace, that he gave on Mount Arafat on a Friday. And he dealt with racism, sexism, nationalism. And so the way that the world has been presented, the image of Christ Jesus, goes against what the prophet was trying to get rid of. These images have given to us promote the wrongs of racism, the wrongs of sexism, and the wrongs of nationalism. That is not, that is an image given that divides us along those lines of race, gender, and nation. It shows favoritism that's undue to any human being. If we get those physical descriptions of Jesus Christ out of our mind, and really Christians, Brother Mustafa, she had no problem with that. For those who accept this verse in the New Testament, I think Paul, but Paul said there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. For those who are taking notes, it's in Galatians 3:28. So we still have the same concept right there. Right there in the Bible, it's saying the same thing, that that image that came way later, I did not take the time to research when the image came, how it came. We heard the story of Michelangelo painting his uncle or somebody, but whenever it came, however it came, it perpetuates divisions amongst humanity, and the truth be told, it perpetuates divisions within our own psyche, within our own mind.
You know what I call it, brother, now.
What do you call it?
I call it, that's when they created the Antichrist, when they created the image, when they created the male, and when they created the nationalism, saying he was a Jew. All that is Antichrist. That's going against what Christ really represents.
That's the point. Yes. Yeah. Because it is not the right picture. So, if we realize that Almighty God, he calls the human family to a unity based on our commonalities. What do we have in common? And where we differ at, let us let our law settle that part. I think it's been a big problem for the human family. We're trying to solve where we differ at, but the Quran tells us, it says, come together on common terms.
And we come together, brother, man. That common term, we come together and we all bleed red blood. And what do blood represent?
Go ahead, I'm listening.
The spiritual life, the life. Blood represents the life.
Yes.
So we all should be coming in that spirit. Yeah, we all should be coming in that spiritual life. No, seeking to please Allah, seeking to please God.
Yes. Yes. If I recall, Muhammad said the blood was the social life. The water was the spiritual life.
Okay.
The social life. Because it makes sense. Social. The Christian society have a social life. The Muslim society has a social life. The Jewish, Hindu, Buddhist, whoever, we all have a social life. So that blood is saying come together where we have common in our social life. What do we agree on?
If you need some blood, you ain't gonna worry about if it's gonna come from a Jew, a black person, or a Caucasian person. If you need some blood, you gonna tell the doctor, hold on, check and see where that red blood came from. You know.
Yes, sir.
So we share that
sir.
Commonality. We share that.
Yes, we do. Yeah. So, so let us do as Allah says. That we come together. Allah calls the human family to a unity based on commonalities. And Allah says that he will settle all of our differences. Says all concerns, all matters go back to him for a final decision. So I'm going to share another experience that we had, and I was blessed to be in the presence. This was October 1999, Imam Muhammad had been invited through the folkloric community, working with and the folkloric community is a very beautiful Christian community. By and large, Catholic base, but it extends further than just Catholics. And so we were there with Imam Muhammad. He had been invited by Pope John Paul to be one of the speakers at this assembly. I think it was the Millennium Jubilee. And there were about 200 world leaders there at this main event. And he was one of five speakers. But earlier in that day, when we were on tour, we were touring the Vatican, and we were walking around. And on the inside, they have some paintings, you know, throughout the entire building pretty much. And I think some of us in the group, we were, like, making comments about all these images because, you know, in Islam, you know, we don't have images. And Imam Muhammad, he gave us a nice lesson full of wisdom. He said that we should not be making those comments about those images. And he said, look at the images, the paintings on the lower level, on the ground level. Because the wall went up, I would say, I don't know, maybe 30, 35 feet. I'm not sure. Very tall wall. He said, the people back in those days could not read. So they painted pictures. The lower level, you see they were fighting. They were at war. They were in a very bad way. Then you go up about 10 more feet to the second level, and you saw a very civilized society. The people were being productive, being creative, building their society. And then he said, now look at the higher level. And he showed them in a paradise, in the Garden of Eden. And he was saying, since the people could not read, they would use this picture language to show that how the human being can evolve from an animal state to a rational state to a heavenly state. And it really sobered us up real quick. You know, Imam Muhammad, he had that ability very strongly and well fine-tuned to look at a picture or hear a conversation. I read a verse in the Bible or the Quran, and to extract from it wisdom. So what did he do in that case for the Mustafa? He took that picture that they had, and he gave us a commonality, once again, building upon that concept, come together on common terms. He gave us a commonality with those paintings right there in the Vatican in Rome. And It was really beautiful. I don't know if my words are really really expressing that beauty that we felt that day, but it was very beautiful to have that connection. So that is the spirit that I would like for us to begin this conversation, and we want to encourage our listeners at this time, if you want to press 1 on your phone, you can, and if you have a question or comment on anything said so far, or you want to add a comment, you can feel free to press 1 on your phone. And for those who may be listening by the computer, the number to call is 714-816-4673. I'll say it again, 714-816-4673. And after you call in, then you can press 1 on your phone, and we will take your question or your comment. Even if your comment is in agreement or not, we have no problem with having that conversation with you. Praise be to Allah. So, you know, Brother Mustafa, we look in the Quran, Allah gives us specific description for Jesus, the son of Mary.
Mm-hmm.
He's called the Ruah, also spelled R-U-H, Ruah, which means the Spirit. He's also called Kalimatan, which is an Arabic word that means the Word. And we know that's very common in the Bible. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word took on flesh and dwelt among men. And so we have that same concept in the Bible as we have in the Quran, that as Jesus being the Word of God. Also, Jesus in the Quran is called the Son of Mary, Ibn Maryam, the Son of Mary. He's also called the Christ, El-Masih, the Christ. And also he's called a ayat, a sign of God. So if we're only going to try to see Jesus, the Christ, in physical terms, we're going to miss him. And while I'm saying that his name is called Jesus, the Christ. Now, so often we hear people, they just say Jesus Christ, but it's really saying Jesus, the Christ. And the, T-H-E, is not his middle name. It is a distinguishing mark that's saying that Jesus, the name of the person, and Christ is the name of, that's his title. That's his achievement. So Jesus, the Christ. You know, I had a problem with my plumber. You know who I called? I called Joe the plumber.
Yes,
when I had trouble with my electricity, I called Bill the electrician. So the question has to be asked, what do they mean when they say Jesus, the Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And then later on in the Bible says they're Christ many. So we have to make a distinction. Jesus is seen as the person, but Christ is seen as the title or the achievement, the honorable title. And in the Quran, he's also called Jesus the Christ. Messiah, the Christ. So, go ahead.
Yeah, for us as Brother Ma'am, growing up and most of our parents growing up as Christians, the impression that they put on our forefathers, our generation's mind, we couldn't separate Christ Jesus from God. We was taught that Christ Jesus was God, is God. And when he read that Bible verse where it said, in the word of, I think he said the word is God. The word was God. Jesus was the word of God. Right? I think you just read that Bible verse. You just read it. And the word was God. We couldn't separate the two. We weren't taught to separate the two. We was taught that Jesus was God, you know, and Mary was the mother of God, you know, and for that being impressed on the brain from birth, from the time you were able to understand language, this is what you were told. And it was so hard, and it's still hard today for people to separate the two. Because one brother said, well, while Jesus was in the world, God took on flesh. The Word took on flesh, as they taught us in the Bible. The Word took on flesh, and Jesus was the Word. So Jesus represented God while he was walking on the earth. But God was still God in heaven now, but he was walking on the earth. And it's so hard for so many people to separate that. They struggle with that. And that's a big challenge for them. And I understand being pressed in your brain from childhood, because that was done to me. But as I came into Islam and started studying Islam, the more I studied, the easier it was to separate the two and come to an understanding that God is the creator. He's not creating, he's creator. And you know, sometimes it's impossible, and you just have to leave people alone and let them think. Give them a little bit. That if Jesus said in the Bible, he can teach you all things. You don't even know when the day of resurrection is. scripture only that is with the Father. So that and right. A lot of other signs in the Bible show us that Jesus was not God. He was created by God, and he was sent to man, you know, how to worship God. But you just miss so much by not studying, you know, as a young child, and studying the word for yourself. So it was a challenge, and I can see to say as a challenge to so many people to separate that. And we thank, and I
yes,
said
sir.
Again, we thank Imam Muhammad for helping us to speak to it. Yes.
That's right. Yes, as she was speaking, it reminds me of the verse that we read on Friday, again from the Bible. They quote Jesus as saying these words, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. And that came to my mind as you were speaking, that we had that challenge, and there's still a challenge in many people's minds. How do you differentiate, separate? Is Jesus God and one the same, or is he less than God? And this has been an argument within the Christian church, going back to the time before the Council of Nice with Constantine in the year 325. So this is not a new argument. But to your point, is as we were taught, then it became a big problem for us because we had a hard time differentiating between the two. Is Jesus God or not? Is he the Son of God only, or is he God? Is he part God, et cetera? So I think as we get more into our conversations, and if we can hear, I have some quote from Imam Muhammad I'm going to read, and maybe some more clarity may come along that line, because that is still a big issue in the minds of a lot of people. How can Jesus be God when he needed help? That's a big question in a lot of people's minds. Yes, sir. So
yes,
I want to make this, because we know that Imam Muhammad, he explained that Christ, Jesus Christ and his mother is a sign. And he said a sign of what? He said Jesus Christ and his mother is a sign of the community life established by Prophet Muhammad. Peace be upon the prophets. He further explained that Jesus Christ is a type, T-Y-P-E, representing a level of development of the human family. So if we're going to limit the conversation, and we're not, to seeing Jesus as a flesh and blood man only, then we will not be able to advance the conversation. You know, over the centuries, you know, that we know that there have been a lot of shrouding, a lot of mystery placed on the conversation. But we had to say, Imam W.D. Muhammad, the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he came and removed that veil. So let's begin, as we get more into the conversation, they say the death, we're going to speak about the death, resurrection, and return to Christ Jesus. But it is not that of a physical man. This is a story, or we may say a roadmap of human development according to the will and plan of God. So on this idea of crucifixion and death, we have to first recognize what the Holy Quran says. And the Holy Quran says, they killed him not, said that Allah raised him up, and it perceived to them that they killed Christ Jesus. You can't kill Christ Jesus. we hear those descriptions before. He's a spirit. He's a word. He's the Christ. He's a sign. There's no man ever born and lived or ever will be born that can destroy the word of God.
No way.
Because in the Bible and in the Quran, he called the word of God. How can you destroy the word of God? Impossible. Totally impossible. How can you destroy a sign of God or the spirit of God? Totally impossible. But we know the concept is out there that Jesus died. And it says that he gave up the ghost, but gave up the spirit. So this is what Imam Muhammad said here. He says, in the Bible verse, when it says Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Imam Muhammad's commentary says, Jesus symbolic of the spirit and the word of God. Imam Muhammad says, you can have nothing to feed on in the world, and the world can reject it and reason it to be of no account, no use at all. It is gone. It's dead. But as long as you hold to the discipline that God created for you, you will rise again. If that word stays in you, you will rise again. They say he gave up his spirit, but he didn't give up the word. Jesus, he gave up the spirit, but not the word. The word is like the seed. When it finds the right environment, come back. Come back around. Adam met a word from his God. And it says he came back to life. We never can destroy the will of God. Can't take it out of God's creation. And we can never destroy the spirit. Though Jesus gave up the spirit, it will come back again as long as we stay rightly inclined, remain rightly inclined. So this concept is given. So he gave up the ghost, and they interpret that as saying that he had died. That was the spirit that he gave up. Imam Muhammad was saying. It was not the word. He kept the word. The word of God will bring us back to life. You can't kill the word of God. The only killing, Brother Musaf, that took place was in the minds of the people. It was in the minds of the people. The people died to the word. The word didn't go anywhere. The word stays. But when we were misled, when humanity was misled, misguided, that was the death. It was the death of the people, not the death of the word of God. You can't kill the word of God. Nor can man bring into being the word of God. That's why we have this beautiful picture. It's in the Quran and in the Bible that when Jesus, the word, came, he came by way of the Virgin Mary. That is saying that you can't bring it into existence, man, with all your thinking, all your intellect, all your so-called power and possessions. You don't have the ability to bring the word of God in, so God brought it in through the Virgin.
Yes, sir.
And you don't have the ability to take the word of God out. If that was done so, it would show God as being inferior to man. And yes, God is nowhere near being inferior to man.
Nowhere.
So the crucifixion, if any place, it was in the intellects, in the hearts and minds of human beings who lost faith. But if they hold to be rightly inclined, when they meet again, a word from their Lord, they will be resurrected. They come back alive to the word of God. Now, this is I'm putting some of this in my own words because that's just the way I have to do it. But even
yeah, you're doing it so beautiful, though, brother, man. You're doing it so beautiful, though. You know, alhamdulillah.
Yes, well, alhamdulillah. Yes, and praise be to God. But we have to see Christ Jesus, in particular the attribute of Christ, outside of physical descriptions. We have to. Otherwise, we would not see the picture. We would not make the connections. And we will always have, as you said in the beginning, that as long as we have Caucasian flesh or even black flesh or a male image or a Jewish national picture as being the embodiment, as they say, of as being the Word of God, we will always have issues with racism, sexism, and nationalism. And we in the day and age now to where those things are dying out. They're not dead yet, but they're dying out. And I hope that this show helps put one more stake in that Dracula.
Yes, sir.
You know? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay, so, okay, well, we're still waiting for our callers. If they want to press one and make a comment, ask questions, we'll do our best. Okay.
So, Brother Imam,
yes,
so the return of the word,
mm-hmm.
the return of the word, if we look at Jesus Christ as being the word of God, the return of the word, will we be safe to say that when the Quran came to the Prophet Muhammad, that the word of God was revived into man?
Yes, sir, definitely. Yeah, when the Quran came, there was the return of Christ. Jesus said, I'm using Bible language here, I'm the light mm-hmm. of the world as long as I'm in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the picture or the images given to us, when we read that, they paint the picture that when he gave up the ghost, that it became dark. They said, it became dark outside.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to that reading we just made. I'm the light mm-hmm. of the world as long as I'm in the world. So it didn't mm-hmm. mean that the sun set, the physical sun we see every day, it didn't mean that sun set. What it meant mm-hmm. was the sun of enlightenment and the intellects of the people. When Jesus has a body of knowledge, the words as a body of knowledge, when that
mm-hmm.
was taken out of the society, then mm-hmm. the people died. Because he said, I'm the light mm-hmm. of the world as long as I'm in the world. So they give us pictures. Mm-hmm. They give us paintings. And no offense mm-hmm. to anybody, but those are quite elementary-type pictures. But it still mm-hmm. contains the wisdom. They show us pictures of the man with a halo around his head. The halo around the head is light, and they show light coming out of the heavens down mm-hmm. upon the image that they have put before us. All this mm-hmm. is saying the same thing, light. But it's not light from science, the physical mm-hmm. sciences. This is the enlightenment from the Word of God. And
knowledge.
So when
yes,
Jesus
sir.
Is quoted, Jesus is knowledge and understanding. Knowledge
mm-hmm.
and understanding. A lot of times we have knowledge, but we don't have understanding. And so exactly. the understanding will enlighten. The understanding will enlighten. So that's, and what we've been enlightened by? The Word. Jesus,
the word,
again,
yes.
one of his major attributes is the Word. So when it says, I'm the light of the world, as long as I'm in the world, it is saying as long as we have the knowledge that Christ Jesus was sent to give us, then we are in the light. And nowhere in the Bible or the Quran where you can find where Jesus sent himself, or Christ,
no,
or the Holy Ghost sent themselves. They were never ones to disobey their creator. God is their creator. God created Jesus. God created Christ. God created the Holy Spirit. God created Mary, God created you and I, and we have to understand that we have to be as Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit was, as Prophet Muhammad was, as Moses and all them were. We cannot sin ourselves. We have to wait on the command of our Lord.
So when,
and then
so
when
the Christian,
go ahead.
So when the Christian tells
yes,
the Muslim,
sir,
you're not being Christ-like, we are being Christ-like. We're obedient to God. Christ was obedient to God. So Muslims are more Christ-like than they are because we being obedient to God. We recognizing God as one, right?
Very much so. You know, Muhammad said this. He said the term Christ-like is the same as the term Muslim. They mean the same identical thing. Because Christ-like or the Christ nature was to obey, to submit, to be obedient. If I did not just describe to you to use the same meaning for the term Muslim, yes, I did. So when they say Christ-like, be you Christ-like, Imam Muhammad in his last Juma, Detroit, 2008, at the convention, he told us more than once, he said, be Christ-like. So not only was he building a bond with the Christians of the world, he was also showing us the connection that being Christ-like, the Christ nature, the Christ essence, it's also the same as being Muslim because
he
people committed completely, willingly to do the will of God. Yes, sir.
He was giving us hikmah. Giving us the hikmah.
The what?
The hikmah. I said he was using his wisdom, giving us the wisdom.
The wisdom. Okay, yeah.
Yes,
we got to talk to our people.
Make that connection.
Yes, sir. I'm just having a little fun with you. You say hikmah.
Yes, sir.
We can talk to our people. The wisdom. The word hikmah is an Arabic word that means the wisdom. And Imam Muhammad was blessed by Almighty God, Allah, to give us understanding. And hopefully, inshallah, God willing, the understanding will bring us into the wisdom. You know, and we can get there. All of us, Muslim, Christian, Jews, we all can get there. All we got to do is keep our hearts sincere.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Imam Muhammad made a comment on the resurrection. The resurrection. Quote, the resurrection of Jesus. It means the resurrection of the truth that Jesus taught. I'm going to read that one more time. The resurrection of Jesus. It means the resurrection of the truth that Jesus taught. It is not necessary to bring the man back in physical form. All we need to do is bring back what he taught. It wasn't the physical man that brought about miracles in the land. It was what he taught. God is not going to produce something that will go contrary to his natural way. He has always brought people back to the right path with truth, not with unnatural happenings, quote-unquote, like miracles. When he awakens the minds of good people to truth, these people carry the truth to people who are in mental darkness. Those who are in mental darkness respond to the truth when they hear it. If they have any goodness in them, this is the natural way of correcting the world. So the resurrection is in the teaching. It's in the words. And when they hit that, the people with good hearts, that's the resurrection. That's the standing up again. You know, they say erection. You know, it means to stand upright. You know, and they said that we Homo sapiens that we stand upright, erect, straight. And so when we fall down from that noble, honorable position that God gave us, when we lose that, all we need is the word. And that's why they call Jesus the Word. And the return of the word, Imam Muhammad says this. It says Muhammad, is to return the second Christ.
Allah.
He says, the Bible says every eye will see him. Not God, his word, his revelation. When it says every eye should see him, we're thinking that we're going to see God. And the Quran plain says we don't have the ability, the capacity to see the word of God. Said Moses asked that question, right? Moses, he wanted to see God. This is from the Quran, right? Moses said,
yes,
you know, see, Moses was a personification of his people. He was kind of hard-headed, too. Mm-hmm. And so he said, you know, I want to see you.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, what? You know, and through the mercy and the educational form of mercy, education is a form of mercy. So through education, Allah showed Moses mercy, and he didn't condemn him to hell for asking to see him, for Moses asking God, to, you know, let me see you. God, through his mercy, gave him education. He said, Moses, see that mountain over there? Yes, sir. So I see the mountain. He said, if the mountain remains standing, you can see me.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing Moses knew that he was dusting himself off, getting up off the ground.
Yes,
because the mountain fell, Moses fell too.
Mm-hmm.
And so Imam Muhammad, he gave us some understanding on that. See, the mountain is symbolic of the higher intellect. Dr. King said, I've been to the mountaintop. In other words, he's saying that he had reached in his thinking, a higher thinking of how the government order works. And so sometimes, you know, we think we can get so big and advanced in our thinking that, we can now see God. And so Moses, he had advanced to that point. Allah says, if the mountain remains standing, Moses, you can see me. And that's why Moses fell when the mountain fell, because Moses was the mountain in his thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's an old
He ain't asked no more, though.
In the Old Testament. Huh?
I said he ain't asked no more after that time.
Oh, no.
Like
I said, yeah, you know. Now he didn't ask any more because he said a minute ago, education is a form of mercy.
Yes.
And Moses got the message that we will go crazy. I said it that way. We will lose our mind, go crazy, thinking we're going to see God in the physical way. So getting back to what Imam Muhammad was saying here, he said the Bible says every eye should see him. He said there's not a law, but it is his word. We will see his word, see his revelation. His revelation is what is growing man. It is the real life of man. It is the real life of man. Inspiration, God's inspiration, his inspiration and his communication is really the real life of man. That's why Aisha, the wife of the prophet, she said of her husband, Muhammad the prophet, he is the Quran living among us, the word of God living among us. What is she saying? That he is the second coming of Christ. The word has again appeared among men. That's exactly what she's saying. He is the word of God manifest and living among us. Aisha had the insight that Jesus being the word of God, it came back through Muhammad. And Prophet Muhammad taught that he said, I and Christ Jesus will be together as one.
Yes, sir.
And we're living in that day. If I may go back just for a minute, we have a beautiful relationship with the folklore community. And it's an ongoing relationship as well. And we have had some conversations from our leaders, Imam Muhammad and Kira Lubick, to where you saw Christ Jesus and Muhammad coming together as one in their conversations. You say, yeah, but she remained a Catholic or she remained a Christian. If you listen to the beautiful teachings of Kira Lubick and keep the rational mind that Imam Muhammad gave us, you will begin to see, I do believe, I know I did, you will begin to see that she's talking on a higher level. And I hope I don't cause anyone any embarrassment, but many have concluded she's talking on a higher level than many of the cardinals and the priests. And they have learned to look at her teachings and study her teachings, because the wisdom that she gives. So you say, well, she's using the same message, the same words. Well, that's what she has. But when you listen to the message with inside of her message, she has done a wonderful job. And even though she passed 8 years ago, her teachings are still around, and they are still teaching millions around the world, and many of them are the priests and the cardinals. And I may even venture to say she often has touched the Pope. When you take and get the Word of God and not see it in physical flesh and not see it in nationalistic or gender value for parameters, then you will get the return of Christ. So what the Imam Muhammad was saying here, that when Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon the Prophet, when he came in touch and embodied himself and bathed himself and became one with the Word of God, that was the return of Christ. And then I know that there are some Muslims still waiting today who have physicalized this conversation. And they are still waiting for the return of Jesus to come back. And the return of Jesus came back with the Holy Quran and in the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Yes, sir. Okay. So we have a number of people, Brother Lucifer, who have called in. So I don't know, should we interpret that as that we're doing a good job or not? But we would love to have you to press 1 on your phone. And if you have a question, comment, even a disagreement, that would be welcome as well. Imam Muhammad has taught. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And the Quran also said Christ Jesus, and his mother, shall be asked if you tell the people to worship you, that his mother in him will be asked these questions on the day of resurrection. So it's just amazing how clear the Quran, you know, makes things, Brother Imam. It makes it clear. Mm-hmm. It makes it clear for us, because Christ would say, never did I say these things, so if I did, you would have known it. You know, his mother also would deny, because we find some Mexican communities that pray to Mary, the mother of Christ Jesus, as though she is God or the mother of God. And I always was asking my mama growing up, well, mama, you said Jesus is God. But then I said, God didn't have a mother, but they said Mary is the mother of Jesus Christ. So Jesus can't be God if God never had a mother. Yeah, something to see a coin between that. And I just appreciate how Allah makes that clear in the Quran, that he's not the mother of God, but she's the mother of Jesus Christ. So that's a conversation in itself, too.
Yes, it is. But we go back to what we said from the beginning, and I don't think I can reiterate this enough, that we have to remove from our thinking, from our mind, the old burden understanding or the understanding that burdens our mind and really oppress our soul. When we are taught to see Christ Jesus in the image of a race, of a white man, or a Jewish man, or just a man, period, not only does it cause a division in the human family among racial, gender, and nationalistic lines, it also causes a division within our thinking that will bring you to the point where you have to ask your mother, say, if God, the God, the Creator, has always been here, how can he have a mother?
Mm.
And that's a good, logical question. I mean, we have to take these pictures and realize that's what they are. They are pictures. They are signs. They are not the real thing. No more than, as you said, you're going down the highway and the sign says Chicago, 75 miles. You do not pull over at that sign and say, I made it to Chicago.
No, sir.
You read the sign. You read the sign. You interpret it for what its message is delivering and obey the sign.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ Jesus said, going back again, it is expedient that I go away. He said, if I go not away, the comforter will not come. But how be it when he come? And who is this comforter? And it's already been done by very many scholars, Muslims and non-Muslims. They have concluded, and they can show through the word Paraclete and Parakletos, I'm not a Greek major, but this is what they have in their books, that is pointing forward, I should say, to Muhammad as being the comforter. So we look at the conclusion, the Bible's conclusion of Christ Jesus. One of the pictures that it gives us the story of the Last Supper. And in this Last Supper, he feeds the disciples. So what does he feed them? And they give us this story. It's not very much food there, is it? They said there was some unleavened bread and wine. And they call that the Last Supper. And Imam Muhammad, again, using his insights, he said the unleavened bread is symbolic of the Word of God. What form of the Word of God? Unleavened means it is rational knowledge. The bread of life referred to here is saying rational knowledge. It does not have yeast in it. Unleavened bread does not have yeast. Now, when you add yeast to bread, it inflates it with air pockets. It is hot air. And sometimes some of our friends that we talk to, they got a lot of hot air in their conversation, just like your bread does.
Yes, sir.
But if they give it to you straight without a bunch of addition, then that is like the unleavened bread. It does not have the yeast in it. They have not inflated the conversation. So Jesus giving them unleavened bread. He was giving them straight, rational, logical understandings of the Word of God. Eat this in remembrance of me. Why do you got to say remember? You don't remember food. You remember words, concepts.
Wow.
Because it's not talking about physical bread. It is the bread of life spoken of here. Is the logical, rational teachings of the Word of God that Jesus gave them to eat this in remembrance of me until I return. Don't look for that white man to return. That Jewish guy. The male to return. The return is not of a physical man. The return is of the Word of God. And the first form, it says, we just described, of the rational logic. The other item for this Last Supper that's given is wine. They say in the Bible language that the bread is symbolic of his body, his flesh, and that the wine is symbolic of his blood. And going back to what you said before, blood does, in this case, have that connection with being the spiritual life. But that's why they use the word wine. Because, you know, people, that they would drink wine to get into a certain mood, a certain feeling. So the wine is speaking about the word of God that has that ability to move you spiritually. Because as human beings, we are rational, but we are spiritual. So Jesus, in his Last Supper, as this picture is painted, is presenting to the world two forms or two expressions of the word of God. One is rational, that's the bread. That's the flesh, as they give it to us. The wine, they say, represents the blood. But that's speaking about the spiritual life. So Jesus says, eat this, drink this in remembrance of me. Me who? Me what? Me the word.
Body of words. Yeah.
Body of words. Body of knowledge. Eat this and drink this until I return. So when did he return? He returned with Muhammad when Muhammad the prophet was in the cave, Mount Hira, and received the first revelation when the words came back. And it comes back with the best words, Ikra, which means to read. Right? We say in Arabic,
yes,
right? That when that word came back, that was not Muhammad's words. Those were not Muhammad's words. It was the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That was Jesus returning. The word of God came
Allah.
Back.
Allah.
So now it has to connect even further. And then Muhammad gave us the connections. Jesus gave supper. What time of the day do you serve supper? You don't serve it in the morning. You serve it at night.
Mm-hmm.
Before going to bed. He knew that the darkness was going to come. That's why they say supper. They didn't say lunch, brunch, breakfast, the last breakfast. No, it's called the Last Supper, the meal you eat before closing your eyes. Which eye? Your mental eye. He knew that he was the light of the world, as long as he was in the world, and he knew that his time was up for being the light of the world in that dispensation of time. So to help them out in the darkness, he gave them the unleavened bread and the wine. Better said, he gave them rational knowledge, understanding, and spiritual knowledge, understanding of the word of God, because they were getting ready to go into an era or a period of darkness. But just hold on to these two until I return. So let's fast forward now to the year 610 A.D. in Mecca with Prophet Muhammad, and you will see the return of Christ. When Prophet Muhammad, he has what we call in Arabic suhoor, which is the morning meal. So that makes sense. If Jesus goes out, leaving the evening meal, and the world goes to sleep, as we do every night, in the morning, we have to eat breakfast. I didn't say breakfast, I said breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people say, I don't know how y'all Muslims fast, I be fasting all them hours, I can't do it. But they do it every night when they go to bed.
Yes, sir.
Now we see why they call it the morning meal breakfast, but they can put it all together and say breakfast. And so Prophet Muhammad, he came, he was blessed to come by Allah with the word to fast and to be fed again. And he fed the Suhoor meal. And as Muslims, we rehearse that every year during Ramadan. Or if you fast during the year, you may do it more often, but definitely as a community, a universal community, we rehearse that for 30 days, mornings, during Ramadan. We wake up in the darkest hour. Isn't that when the word of God comes, when mankind is most in need of light? In the darkest hour?
Yes, sir.
He sent his word. He sent his word. And then the word, again, is who? From the Bible's definition and the Quran definition, the word of God is who? Come on, Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
That's the return of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Five verses of the Quran, right? It could have been or because I did call it. It goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So why are Muslims waiting for the return of Christ when they have the word of God, which is Christ, the spirit of God, called Christ, right there in the Quran?
Yes, sir.
Why are Muslims saying that Muhammad is the last prophet, but still waiting on the prophet to come, who I raised and been here?
There's no logic
in that.
Yes, sir.
So alhamdulillah. I would love for someone to press on their phone so I could take me a break. I'm really enjoying this.
Imam, you painting the picture so clear, brother Imam, to you. You can't, you know, you had to sit here and just, you painting the picture so clear so you almost could see it sitting right in front of you, you know, like a picture or something. Huh?
But, you know, but it is in front of you. It's called your forehead.
Yes.
And the forehead,
yes,
and the forehead, it sticks out. The forehead sticks out in front. But
yes, sir.
I got to get credit where credit is due.
Yes, sir.
Because I did not come up with none of this. Allah bless Imam W.D. Muhammad to be a student of Prophet Muhammad, and a student of all the prophets, but mainly to Muhammad the Prophet. And it was Allah blessed upon Imam W.D. Muhammad that we have this understanding.
And it's good, so much more. And it's good to let our Christian friends know that when we recognize the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, we recognizing all the prophets. You know, we're not leaving or making no distinction between none of the prophets because they all came with the same message. You know, to submit and do God's will. So we're not you know, trying to belittle Christ Jesus in no kind of way. We just said that he came with the same message, the same word of God. And with the Prophet Muhammad, it just made things clear to come and correct some of those things that man tried to change, to put those things in order, you know, and make them clear for the human family to be able to understand and accept. So it's a beautiful lesson this morning, Brother Imam. It's a beautiful teaching and beautiful, you know, tafsir of Imam Muhammad that you're giving us this morning. It's beautiful.
Yes,
it's clear to me.
You know, and even though I know that you didn't mean to say morning, it's morning because the light is dawning. Like the star on us right now. We got a caller right here. I know this number here. This is Brother Imam Muhammad Siddiq. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Imam. Enjoying the program. And I was just thinking when you were talking about the break fast, and then Imam did say, so when or if you decide to put it together, you know, so you say you serve that Last Supper, the Isha, which is the Isha prayer. He said, and that also in the Arabic has reference to, you know, dying or the end of everything that's going to happen in that dispensation of time. He said, but then when they awakened, he said, who serves the breakfast? And I'm saying, like, the whole Islamic world is waiting for this Jesus to return and stand on top of a temple and take a sword and slay all the kill all the pigs and, you know, or something of that nature. And
right.
But Imam said, Allah bless him to serve the breakfast. He said,
that's right.
He said the message that Allah inspired in him is the breakfast. In other words, the first meal we get after we go to sleep, and we come out of this dark understanding and misunderstanding that we've been subject to underneath this Western world who wanted to keep us in the dark and keep the world in darkness. He said that the enlightenment comes when that breakfast is served. He said, and that breakfast is served by Imam W.D. Muhammad, Allahu Akbar.
That's right.
You know,
Allahu Akbar.
And, you know, and I'm
That's
also...
Right.
I'm also concerned. I was sitting listening to you. I was listening to you, and I had earlier opened up an email sent to me by my dear friend Virgil Boyd. You know, and he's telling me about there's a brother named Muhammad Shafiq. I forwarded it to you, who's coming to town, and he's going to be speaking, and everyone's excited. He's this Islamic scholar, and it's not to put him down. I'm sure he's a very capable person. And I think that'd be something worthy to go. They want to charge $32 to come, if you want to eat with him, or $5 if you just want to sit and listen. And but I'm thinking, I said, they could save themselves $32 just tune this program in right now, you know, and really get a big meal. They would get a full meal served, and they would really be walking away from there very, very much satisfied. Without any wine and unleavened bread, you know, but just the clarity of all of that, which is wrapped up in what has been done today. This has been an excellent program, and I congratulate you and Brother Mustafa for keeping it going, and it just inspires me.
You.
No matter how long you hear this, it's always enlightening and rewarding to hear it, and there's always something that you had overlooked or forgotten or settled way in the depth of your mind that needed to come back to the surface, and that's what this program did for me. So keep up the excellent work. May Allah continue to bless
you,
both of you, and I'm here in support of you. Allahu Akbar.
Thank you very
much.
Yeah, that was Imam Muhammad Sadiq here in Indianapolis, Indiana. Who had done a marvelous job, and we try and keep the train moving, as they say. So, and as you say, you know, the one to serve the breakfast, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and not trying to praise him or his name, because he was not like that, not whatsoever. But that's why we call this the title of the show, The Death. And I have death in quotation marks. The death, resurrection, and return of Jesus Christ according to Imam W.D. Muhammad. We have a caller here from the 804 area code. Thank you for calling Words Made People. Can you state your first name and your city, please, and make your comment and ask your question.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Farida from Richmond. It was very enjoyable. I was cooking and listening, but he gave the ma'am, Sadiq, he gave you a wonderful compliment. And everything he said, I have to agree to. You all have a beautiful program. And I might have to go back and listen to this again. I mean, this was so full of what the Last Supper was. And I heard a little bit, but you really put it out there. It's something that you should know. And Christians, like the brothers say, Christians should know. We should discuss this with them so they will know exactly what it means. It's beautiful. Have a wonderful day.
May
Allah continue to bless you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum
assalam. Thank you, Mr. Patricia. Thank you very much for those comments. We have another caller here from the 850 area. Can you give us your first name and ask your question or make a comment, please?
Assalamu alaikum. It's Sister Madeline.
Brother
McCall, the sister that just called, she was saying that the information that you're presenting is very clear and that our brothers and sisters that are Christians need to know it. But it appears to me that our Muslim brothers and sisters need to understand it too, because they seem they seem to get it confused when when Imam Waruddin Muhammad is making things clear, and more clear for a certain mentality that has grown up here in America. It seems they seem to misunderstand that there's no disrespect or no discount to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that these tafsir, these conversations, these enlightenments are connected to one another, and that they bring our understanding a completion. So could you speak to that, please, sir?
You mean the completion?
Well, a more complete understanding. Can you speak to the connectedness between the Sunnah, the way that the Prophet demonstrated the word, and Imam Waruddin Muhammad, and the way he gave understanding to the enlightenment of the same? I don't know. I think I'm making it. It might be making sense.
Yeah, yes, it does. When you, the key word that you said that registered in my mind was making the connections. And there are so many disconnects.
Yes.
There are so many. Some were created artificially by those who want to have dominion, a domination over the lives of people. And there was a lack of trust for a long time from the leadership to trust the common man and the common woman. They are still resisting giving us that trust to have the, well, they used the term before, divine spark. And they would say that women and Africans did not have that divine spark, meaning we did not have that God-given mind to be entrusted with the Word of God. So that was not limited, that distrust was not just limited to the Christian society. They also put that oppression, and it's still there to this day, on the Muslim society, to lock our minds in rituals only. But the rituals become dead and dry. There's no flesh on the bone of the ritual to give it life. It's just a dry bone, and also to keep us divided to where we cannot see the connections, to where, though the Quran is quite clear, Sister Madeline and our listeners, the Quran is quite clear. It speaks in glowing terms of the love and respect for people of the book, in particular the Christians. The Quran gives a very special connection to the Christians, and not just the people, but also their houses of worship. But why is it that the Muslims are disconnected from what Allah is saying about the Christians and the Jews and their houses of worship right there in the Quran? And then again in the Quran it says, be you Muslim, Christian, Jew, Sabian, any who believe in God in the last day will get their reward. But the question comes back, why is it that some Muslims can't see that or won't see that? And it's because those in leadership, they want to lock our minds up with ritualism, dry rituals, and not allow us to see the truth. Allah removes that blessing from such people who want to lord over the Word of God. There's no human being of any race or gender or nationality that is to lord over, be the intercessor between a believing person and the Word of God. So they divide and they conquer. Our job here, which we're doing on this show and many other shows, conversations, for, well, I got to say it the way it is, Sister Melvin. For those who came through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and were blessed to advance in our mind, body, and soul to Imam W.D. Muhammad, it is our job to speak up and to speak out, to speak loud and to speak long on these understandings that Allah has blessed us to come into. Then we can begin with Allah's help to make the connections with our Christian friends, Muslim friends, our Jewish friends, and as the Quran says, come together on common terms. There are Muslims who are afraid. There are Muslims who are afraid to even look at the Bible, let alone talk about it.
Yeah.
They are afraid. Okay? So, Sister Melvin, I don't know, did I answer your question or did I over-answer your question? But I know we got a lot of work to do.
No, you answered the question. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So, but Mustafa, you have anything that you want to share? We're coming down to our last 20 minutes here.
No, sir, brother, man. The show is going so good. I think we doing a beautiful job. Praise be to Allah. Beautiful job.
Praise be to Allah. Because we say this just as another reminder. This is not to take away from what people of the book, meaning the Christians or the Jews, believe. But I'm convinced that if we sit down and have these kind of conversations with our Christian friends, Jewish friends, whoever, we listen to them, they listen to us, that I'm convinced that they will get a message from us that can be appreciated. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that we will get things from them that could be appreciated as well. But we're living in a day and time of to where, due to communications, we got faster planes and got faster means of communication, that it is time for us to have these kind of conversations and to come out of being small in our thinking and to be sectarian in our thinking. Yes.
So even that fear that some people have, Brother Imam, they have a fear about the unknown or getting to know things that, you know, their pastor, their preacher haven't shared with them. You know, a lot of people still live in that fear to give up believing that Christ Jesus, peace be upon him, died and rose for their sins. You know, they still have those challenges. Like you said, we have to speak up, speak out, and speak clearly to their mind, to their intellect, you know, to share what we have and to share what's been shared with us. You know, we got a lot of work to do. And you shared with us Friday during Juma, you know, how many of us is going to go back and save life of Harriet Tubman there? How many of us going to go back and try to save some of our family members, some of our friends, and share these conversations with them? You know,
sit
there and preach to them for 4 or 5 hours, but we have to go back and try to bring some of them to the point of understanding where Allah has blessed us to be able to understand.
Yes, sir. That's very true. We have to go back. And also, I was just reflecting again over what Sister Madeline had just asked about. She used the word sunnah, and sunnah is an Arabic word which we use. In English, it means the way, or the way of, the way a thing has been done, or how it was said, what was said, and how it was said. So there are those who follow the Sunnah or the way of Muhammad the Prophet. And as I was reflecting, what came to my mind, we have another word which is closely associated with Sunnah, and that is the word Hadith, H-A-D-I-T-H. And the Hadith and Sunnah, though used interchangeably, there is a real stark distinction we should make between the two. And I think there may be some of the problem, Sister Mallory. I hear you on hold right now, but I want to relay it back to you. Is that the Hadith means a report. And the Quran says that Allah gives the best Hadith, the best report in the Quran. And Muslims over the years have had great men, wise men, to go out and collect their hadiths on what the Prophet said and done. And but we also strongly believe that there have been enemies of Islam who have went into the hadiths and put in the wrong teaching. Now, Allah says they cannot get into the Quran, so He will protect the Quran. But that same protection is not guaranteed to the hadith, these reports. Keep in mind the word hadith means report. And they are reporting the Sunnah or the way that Muhammad lived. But those who had bad intents, wicked intents, they began to incorporate un-Islamic ideas and concepts and claim them to be authentic hadith or authentic reports when in fact they were not. So we have a lot of Muslims who have ideals that may have came from people with bad intents, and they think it's from the way of the Prophet, and it's not. And what they can use as a guideline to see if these man-made hadiths are true or not is to go to and compare them with the Quran. So, Sister Madeline, that I brought you back on.
Because
I'm thinking there may have been some of the points that you were driving at.
Yeah, because people do, or at least I've listened to, observed, and witnessed that there are people who, and that seems to be part of the division in the Muslim community, is that people misunderstand the language or don't know the language or cannot translate the Arabic words and find the right English word to define or to explain it, and they confuse. They seem to confuse what they think is a practice or a report of Prophet Muhammad and try to apply that misunderstanding to the life today, which ends up making us very impotent in our practice of our religion and in our ability to give clear direction in our dawah efforts. And it's it seems like without the information and without the programs that you're doing for clarification and enlightenment and awareness, we get further lost because we're reading, we're reading reports, and we're acting out of reports in an oppressive, disrespectful way of our brothers and our sisters that are Christian, that are other Muslim, and that are just God-fearing, you know, right-thinking people. I appreciate the fact that you gave more enlightenment about the language and its application
in the way that mm-hmm. we try to live in a right-guided manner.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, and we thank you for the compliments for this show, but there are, I don't know how many, I have not counted them, but if you go to Muslim Journal newspaper, if you have one in your area,
mm-hmm.
There is a listing of, oh my goodness, I have not counted them, but there are so many shows that come on every day on Blog Talk Radio, some mm-hmm. form or another, mm-hmm. Muslims from my community who are doing similar and maybe even more what we're trying to do here today.
Yeah.
So we do want to encourage the support of the Muslim Journal and go to their page. As you're reading it, go to their page that speaks about their list, all the different blog talk shows. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
they come on a regular basis.
Okay.
Okay. Sister Melvin, we do thank you. I have another call here, so I'm going to get that call, and we thank you for listening in to
thank
Words
you.
Made People.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you.
And Lake Masalam, we have a caller here from 909 area code. Can you give us your first name and your city, please?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Ayman Abdul Mujib calling in from Los Angeles, California.
Yes, sir, Brother Imam Ayman Abdul Mujib.
Yes, sir. How you doing? Walaikum Assalam. You and Brother Mustafa. Alhamdulillah. Excellent program. Trying to bring more clarity to this these concepts. I just like to, I know the program is just about over. I just want to leave a quote. I think it's from the Bible that says, because you'll be discussing the Word of God, and Jesus mm-hmm. being the Word of God, trying to bring that clarity out. And there's a quote in the Bible that says, "Lift me up, and I will draw all men unto me." So
mm-hmm.
I think it's very appropriate to say that when you lift the true Word of God up, that will draw all people unto it. So I just wanted to leave that word with you all today. Excellent program. Keep up
yes,
the good
sir.
Work. And, trying to bring the understanding.
Yes, sir. Well, before we let you go,
mm-hmm.
that you quoted a very beautiful verse from the Bible,
mm-hmm.
lift me up. So this
mm-hmm.
this me, can you
mm-hmm.
give us some more understanding about this me? It says lift me.
Yeah, what it is, I was really making an attempt to just tie it into the understanding that the me is the Word of God. You
mm-hmm.
know, Jesus being the Word. So as you lift the Word up, and as the Word is lifted up, that will draw
mm-hmm.
the people. That will draw the people, the Word. Because
mm-hmm.
We've got so much confusion on the physical image that, you lift it up the physical image and, they've used that same concept but use it in the wrong way. Because they've lifted up a white physical image and you've drawn people under it. And it, really, that's racism, So I was
yes,
just
sir.
Thinking with word, if you lift up the clear word, transparent word of God, this truth, you lift that up, and that people will be drawn onto that, and that will bring the clarity.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're trying
mm-hmm.
to do. That's what you're attempting to do.
Very good.
You know?
And as you, yes, sir, and as you were speaking, let me see. Yes, and as you were speaking,
mm-hmm.
my mind focused on the word lift. Lift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is the ascending.
Yes. Ascending, right.
It's not coming down. Like it's not descending. It is
right.
ascending.
Right.
And talk about the ascension. So
mm-hmm.
if Jesus, the Word,
mm-hmm.
is lifted up,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to draw. You know how you draw
mm-hmm.
water out the well?
Right.
Well,
mm-hmm.
you're bringing it from a lower level
mm-hmm.
to a higher level.
Exactly.
So if you lift up the word, or if it's that hidden me, then you're lifting up the word of God, and it will also lift up us from a lower level of consciousness to a higher level of consciousness, the word of God.
And really just to add on to that, you know, now the word is physicalized, as you talked about. So you have to lift it up from being physicalized and show it for what it really is. You know, it's not a physical image; it's a word. You know, like the name of the program, "Words Make People." You know, it's the word of God that really gives life to the people, and it's the word of God which we should be following. And, you know, as when we recite Quran, you know, we're following the word, you know. The word. Because if a man can't continue the prayer, another imam has to replace him. And when he replaces him with the same word of God. So we're following the word.
That's right. Well, thank you very much.
I will draw all men unto me. Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. I just want to leave you
all with
that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and we have the song that we have, and I meant to mention the verses today was sung by a young sister from my community named Khadija Abdullah. She is the daughter of my co-host. And so this as we go off. But once I was speaking with Imam Muhammad, And it said the word dwelt among man.
Right.
And because, you know, as Imam Muhammad explained to us, man, M-A-N, means mind, M-I-N-D.
Right.
So the Imam, he was explaining the word dwelt among man. And and he said the dwelling was in the intellect. How someone takes you to dwell on something, say, dwell on this for a while. It means to think on it for a while. And you think on words. But in this case here, you are dwelling on or you are thinking on the word of Almighty God. And that would give us the resurrection. That would give us the return. Alhamdulillah.
That's right.
Thank you, Brother Man, for calling.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And we pray that all goes well for you all in L.A.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. We're down to our last couple of minutes here.
All right.
And
may Allah bless both of you all.
I mean. And you
thank
too, bro.
Right. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu
alaikum. So in our closing minute, Brother Mustafa, we do want to mention that here in Indianapolis on November 13th, we have our 24th consecutive Parents Appreciation Banquet. Now, they can call 317-251-9796. Again, 317-251-9796, and get more information about our banquet. So, Brother Mustafa, we're down to our last minute. Thank you for being here with us. We do want to go up, close out with the song, "Worth My People." So, inshallah, we'll be here next week with Okay, assalamu alaikum. We're back live. That was it was 7 years ago. So, what is that? 2017 or 2016 recording that we played today. But we thank you for listening and patient. We do have a caller. I am back on live. Just so you know, today is December 3rd, the year 2023. So I'm back live. Caller from 520, you hit your hand up. Both we are no longer on the recording. 520, you have a comment or question, please.
Assalamu alaikum, buddy, man. This is Brother McGee from Akbar in Tucson. I enjoyed your program today. Enjoyed your guests.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm going to write down your number right now because I owe you a phone call.
I'll wait till you call me because I'm back from the hospital, so you can call me. We could talk later. but I enjoyed the program, the guests, everything, and I think that subject was right on time. So may the peace and blessings be with you, your family, and the believers, and the those who call. I thank you, enjoy you, and may God be with you. As-salamu alaykum.
Let me be clear. You say you are at the hospital or you home?
No, I'm home. I'm back from the hospital. I'm home. I'm waiting on the call for you.
Yes, sir. Inshallah, I'm going to call you today. When we get done, we're going to make offer prayer because offer prayer just came in. But inshallah, I'm going to call you today. I'm going to make it my business.
Okay.
Yeah, well,
I know you can give me some of that good knowledge you got. We go back 60 years almost, you know.
Yes, sir. Well, I give you a little and you give me a little.
Yes, sir. May the peace and blessings travel with you, and I enjoyed it yesterday, especially the brothers in Los Angeles, California, having that 3-day adventure. I've been watching it on television. So, may the peace and blessings travel with you all. May Allah keep y'all strong.
I mean. Okay. We got about 39 minutes left. If anybody else want to make a comment on what they heard today, you can press one on the telephone. And we can bring you into the conversation. Otherwise, we will wrap it up. And most times, I wrap it up with the lecture by Imam W.D. Muhammad. We cannot find one that would be appropriate. Yeah, Muslim journals of time to be grateful, banquet, weekend. I don't know why they call it a weekend. It's not weak at all. It's strong, very strong. In Newark, New Jersey, at the Meadowlands, hosted by Imam Kareem from Master Del Hawk, there in New Jersey. He will be there with the believers, and we will be looking forward to have a good time. Because the spirit, quite a few of them, I'm not speaking from what I heard, the spirit of the believers at the time to be grateful is very special. It's very healthy, very wholesome, very inspirational. And if you haven't been, if you can't go this year, then try and go next year. Because it's always a very beautiful, beautiful time. The way we can hear, the love and the laughter in the air. And also, but it's also time, a serious time as well for the believers. So if you can, try and make it to Newark, New Jersey. Also, go to MuslimJournal.net and subscribe to the paper. And keep in contact with what's going on with the Muslims around the country. As you know, Muslim Journal has moved their headquarters, or their base, I should say, from Chicago to Newark, New Jersey. And we have all the trustees as well, alhamdulillah. So I'm just going to find something to play by Imam Muhammad and let it play out. Try and find something to do. That I've not been playing it recently. Okay, I'm going to go with this one here. Imam is talking about Rabbi Al-Alami, Rabbi Al-Alami, Lord of all the worlds. And I think you will enjoy it. So until then, till next week or next time, Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for your support.
We want to begin by first pointing to some, I would say, notes of help or support to anyone who wants to study the Quran. And the first and most important of these notes is that the Quran is in Arabic, but the Quran has a superior Arabic to that that the Arabs had before the Quran. Arabic then enrich itself, the Quran, the revelation, to Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and peace be on him, enriched Arabic as a language, as a language. It made the language richer in communication, effective communication. It made it richer in beauty of mechanics, style, etc. However, Arabic is a language that was valued even at the time of revelation for its I would say its effectiveness to give a message without wasting a lot of words. Power of communication to communicate a lot with few words, and with its, I would say, naturalness. The Arabic language has a real naturalness, and you can only become aware of that through really the study of the Arabic language itself. You come to learn that the Arabic has a real naturalness. It's a real naturalness there. As an example, I would say, and I don't have time to really show you all these things now, it's a big subject itself, that much of our language that we formed ourselves has a real resemblance to Arabic in terms of how we make expressions, you know, how we form an expression. Has a real resemblance to Arabic, the way expressions are made in Arabic. I have one right now. We used to say, "What's with you, man?" And nobody taught us that. We didn't go to school to learn that expression from school or from anybody. We said, "What's happening, man? What's happening?" These are acceptable expressions in Arabic, classic Arabic. Whereas for us, you know, in English, it's the bad English. It's not good English, you know. What's happening, you know? What's the matter with you, you know? What's the matter with you? What's with you? Expressions like that. Those expressions are really acceptable, classical, standard Arabic. Same expressions in Arabic. So Arabic is very natural language. They're very natural language, and believe me, the best of all expressions. I'm using the term expression now, in the full context of culture, art, everything, language, art, work, whatever. The best of all expressions, in the long run, are the expressions that stay true to the original nature. Those are the best expressions. Expressions that stay true to the original nature. This talk that I'm giving you is to introduce you to the study of the Quranic Arabic. And to go into the Quran, to learn the Quran in Arabic, thinking that this Quran was just given in Arabic is not enough. Says, why? What was the reason? What's the main reason for the Quran being in Arabic? Some will say because Arabic is the language, is the best language. No, it's because Muhammad was the best choice for the prophet. Muhammad was the best choice, the last prophet, and he spoke Arabic. So the Quran says, never did God send a messenger to a people speaking another language, something different from what they spoke. That's the understanding. That's the logic. He was an Arab, and the Quran was revealed to in Arabic so that he could communicate it to his people who were Arabs, firstly. Communicate it to them, firstly. And his language was Arabic. He was a native child of Arabia. So his language was Arabic. So God wouldn't communicate him. The same rule. It would be stupid for a man to speak to an audience in another language, in a language they don't understand, and it would be ridiculous for God to communicate to a man in a language he doesn't understand. He was an Arab. His language was Arabia, Arabic. So that's the main reason. That's the main reason. But then God is foreknowing. I think that's enough to say. If it's not, then some of you ought to excuse yourself. God is foreknowing. So it was in God's plan to have his last revelation given in Arabic. It was in his plan. And Arabic has this special value that I've mentioned already, that it had this special value even at the time of revelation. And I've done some research on Arabic as a language. And the Jews themselves, they say that of the Semitic languages, the Arabic is the most original and the truest to the nature of Semitic language. The truest to the nature of Semitic languages. They check their language by Arabic. When they want to see if certain terms have gotten off track or something, they will study Arabic to get help. Not that Arabic is the only help for them, but Arabic is a source, a help for them in correcting problems with their own language, with their language, Semitic language, with the Jews' language, the language of the Jews. And when you study the Arabic expressions in the Quran, you could see that without the power of the Arabic language itself, these expressions that come from God would not have the same power and value. I know of no other language that, and the proof of it is that no translator yet have been satisfied with his translation. They all say that the translation falls terribly short of conveying what they know, what they receive from the Arabic. That's why you need so much, you need translation and you need explanation and you need commentary. You see? You need all that. There's a lot I would like to say about the language, but we're going to go right to the Arabic itself, the Arabic. The term Rab, this is Rab, Rab. This word here, Rab, is one of the first, very important, powerfully communicating, powerful words in the Quran in terms of compact meaning and ability to just communicate so much with one word. Actually, Rabb is really one syllable, isn't it? Rabb. When you say the Rabbun is two syllables, when you pronounce the sign at the end of the letter, but it's actually Rabb, one syllable letter, but so rich in meaning. So the word, so rich in meaning, Rabb. Allah is the Rabb of all the worlds. If we see the Quran as we read it, with the Fatiha being the beginning for our reading of the Quran, the opening and beginning of the Quran, then the first words of the Quran, as we read it, are Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Then Alhamdulillahi. So we have two descriptions of God until now, right? Bismillahir Rahman, that's one description of Rahman. Rahim, two descriptions. Alhamdulillah, Rabb, third description. The third description in the Quran that we come upon, and we just began reading the Quran, is this one, Rabb. And it says, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Affected grammatically. That's how comes Rabbi. Otherwise, speaking as a noun or subject, it would be Rabbu, or Rabbun, you see. I'm not here to teach you Arabic. This is not an Arabic lesson session, a workshop, whatever you want to call it. this is Quranic Arabic. Quranic Arabic, okay? Rabbul Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So Lord of all the world. Al Alameen. Lord of all the world. How do we find the meaning now for the common person? The message, the revelation. The revelation. How do we find it for the common person? How is this expression used other than for God? Do we have to go to an Arabic dictionary or an Arabic encyclopedia for it? Never go to any book before you go to the same book. Always go to the same book for the meaning. In the Quran is the dictionary for the Quran. Yes. This is the revelation. This is revelation too. I'm giving you right now. In the Quran is the dictionary for the Quran. Did it send us the outside for keys? No. He has the keys to the heavens and earth, huh? All the keys with the revelation. Okay. Rabbul Alameen. That means dictionary keys, meaning, definition. Okay. Yes, Rabbul Alameen. Lord of all the world. Okay. In the Quran, our God teaches us in a beautiful way to respect our parents. And the expression used is, with this, the term used with this expression, Lord, be to them as they were to me kind, huh? Huh? As they were to me when they raised me up as a child. And this word is used. Rabbayani, for two during the verb. This is the verb of the noun. Rabbayani, yeah, for two. Rabbayani saghira, when they raised me up when I was small. As they raised me up when I was small, or as a child. Rabbayani Sahira. So, Rabbayani. This is a Rab. Rabba, and this is Ya. This is two dots. Ya, ni. And then when I was small, Sahira, you know, we don't have to put that. So here's
Here is the same term used again in a different context. Here's how we find definition for the term in the Quran. You see how God used the same term in different references or in different contexts. Then you get the meaning of that term. How do we know the meaning of go? By its uses. Huh? That's the only way you know. So if you want to know the meaning of any term in the Quran, study its uses in the context of the Quran. Then you get its meaning. Rabbayani Sahira and Rabb. So you have scholars, right? Scholars, great scholars. Don't like a breakage in anything. Unless it's supposed to be broken. So you have scholars, you know, they say the evolver. The evolver for Lord. Call it the evolver. The Lord who evolved the world. So now this is not Darwin's evolution, this is different. So here we have the meaning raised up. Now, every person know how a child is raised up by parents. So then now we have to go to the dictionary and see what raised means. No, we don't, because raised have been used in a common context. Say, as you raised me up when I was a small child. We all know how children are raised up by their parents from small child. Right? So what is the meaning of raised now? To love. To cherish. To be concerned for. To watch out for the needs of. To serve the needs of. To guide, direct. To look to the future and aim that child's life to the future that you want for it. You cut out for a child of, I want that child to be this kind of person. This kind of person. Then you groom that child. You care for that child and nourish that child and groom that child so that that child grows into the beautiful destiny you want for it. And what you want for it is that it be responsible for itself and responsible for more than itself. Huh? You want to raise it up so it will be like you. You're responsible for it and other things too. So you want that child to grow up into more responsibility, to be more independent and less dependent. Correct? So that's what it means. Rabbul Alameen. Now you say, well, how can that go for the world? The earth, the Mars and the sun and the stars out there. How are we to understand that or apply that to that reality? If God, by his will, has made the existence of something, created or caused the existence of something, and also laws governing the existence of that forces or enforces a discipline and also an adjustment so that any situation that interrupts the will or the discipline will be taken care of by a law that enforces an adjustment. So the creation, like the child, when it comes to a point where it needs to make an adjustment, there is a law and an adjustment factor that comes about. They call it adaptation or whatever that comes about, that comes into action or comes into play to make it possible for that existence to grow or progress into a form for surviving beyond the problem. Or for survival beyond the problem. Right? So survival is threatened to make it grow, really, isn't it? Survival is threatened to bring it to where God wants it to go. So God created it, but God created it to run into problems. And the problem it's going to run into have already been taken care of by the fact, an adjustment factor. And when it runs into that problem, it's going to make an adjustment. And the adjustment is going to be more progress, more evolution for that particular existence. Now, isn't that what we do for our children? So we know it's going to run into problems, but we know also that if we can't guide it to the adjustment or prepare it for the adjustment, we know that God's mercy. If we can get God's mercy, that child will be saved from that problem, right? That's the real personal faith, you see. God is Rob of all the world, Lord of all the world. Will parent serve as a substitute for the term Rob? No. No. Although God has really kind of related the role of parent to the role of God. And this has happened naturally for man. Man has naturally come into that kind of idea about God, that I must have a higher parent. I must have a more powerful parent. Somewhere there is a generator that's more powerful and older than my parent, even than my ancestor that I can trace back as far as I can go in my mind. I trace him back, but how did he come here? He needed some help. So man keeps going back in his mind and in his logic, with his logic that he has. He keeps going back, and he comes to the conclusion that there must be a super, a supreme parent that parented me and all the worlds, all existence. Yes. Rabbul Alameen. All of this is in the Rabbul Alameen. Rabbul Alameen, Lord of all the worlds. All right. So now, God is Lord of all the worlds. But look at the Arabic language for world. If Alameen means world, Alam means one world. Alam. It's too sensitive. Your volume is too high or something. Then Alam means one world, right? Alameen, world. Alam, world. What also is Alam? Knowledgeable person. And God says, above every possessor of knowledge is God the most knowledgeable. Above every knowledgeable person, a knowledgeable thing, is a possessor of knowledge, is God the most knowledgeable. This is Quran. God the most knowledgeable. I'm tying that to Rabbul Alameen. I'm tying this expression in the Quran to Rabbul Alameen. Above every great knowledgeable person or being is God the most knowledgeable. Then what is that saying? It is saying Allah Rabbul Alameen. That's what it's saying. That expression is saying, the two expressions are saying the same thing. Rabbul Alameen, God is the Lord of all the world, meaning that God is responsible for all the world, coming into their maturity, into their existence as we see them established. And when we say above all the knowledgeable possessors of knowledge are knowledgeable persons is God, so we are saying that God is responsible for those knowledgeable persons. They are not his teachers, he's their teacher. He didn't get his from them, they got theirs from him. That's what it's saying. So actually the two are saying, addressing the same issue, the same issue. Now, we're still talking about the common man, still addressing the mind of the common man, not the man of higher knowledge or the man of revelation. We're still addressing the mind of the common man, and you should have been able to follow me with your common mind till this point. All right? Okay. He is Rabbul Alamin, Lord of all the world. He evolved all the worlds. He's the one who had the concern for his creation. Created it feeble, weak, needing attention from the strong. Huh? Needing help from the knower. Needing help from the former, the one that formed it. Yes. Now, you know, we take too much credit, but we get deserved a little bit. I had that baby. That's my baby. I had that baby. I made that baby. Isn't that? Now tell me if I'm saying things that I dreamed last night. I think those are expressions. In the society. I made that baby. So we feel that way ignorantly, and it has an inkling of truth to it. You see? And because of that, we have a personal responsibility and a personal kind of obligation. Very, very personal obligation to this child that we say we made. Right? Leave him alone, he ain't yours. Another expression, right? Yes. So now because of that awareness of our involvement and that the child didn't exist until we acted. My Lord. Child didn't have any existence at all until we acted. It was our act that made that thing. That act. Excuse me for saying things. I guess it's indication of the time. So because of that now, we accept the obligation and accept it with commitment, attachment, devotion, etc. This is my child. I'm going to raise this child. I have to raise this child. Even if I have to suffer myself, I have to care for this child. Yeah. Now you think God doesn't suffer like a human suffer. But God suffer us to be free on our own. You know, suffer means bear, put up with. Endure the displeasure. Now, we know God endures the displeasure because our object is to please him. So if we don't, he must endure, put up with the displeasure. How wonderful it is. Now, what I mean, it's wonderful to be able to tap dance on two realities. And not get out of step. It's wonderful. Yeah. Now, all it is, as what believe you have believe it, you say, this is our life, and that's correct. This is our life. This is the real life. Yes. In Christianity, they make the prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, Lord. In Judaism, they don't say it. But every rabbi is Lord. Rabbi is Lord. Rabba means Lord. So now, here is man now believing, and who's behind this theory anyway? that the world was evolved by the Creator, and it rested. Our holy book says God is a worker, and God is active, and He is not at any time in time idle, but in a wonderful work, doing a marvelous thing at every instance of time. And then the telescope finally bears witness to it. No, the world has not ceased created, being created. New stars are being born. Great worlds out there, far away from us, are coming into existence. That's what they say. So really, that theory has been proven wrong. The universe is not yet rested. The same thing that happened to bring this into existence and evolve a law and an order for it is happening out there in the distance, according to their own observation with their long telescopes, with their powerful telescopes. Correct? All right. But let's say let's ignore what has been discovered by modern science. And let's stick with that idea that it has rested. Maybe out there something is happening, and we do believe it. It's happening all the time. New births going on all the time in the distance. But for this family of bodies we call the solar system, it is rested. Yes, it is rested. So it's rested. We still don't accept that kind of reasoning, that man is not Lord, or man is the one now responsible, taken care of, and responsible for the continuation of growth and development or evolution. Man comes into knowledge. He makes improvement upon himself. He makes improvement upon his environment. He raises the level of his existence. He improves and advances and raises the level of his existence. Is he Lord? The same law operating in the universe as an expression of God's will is operating in man, who is just a part of this universe. The same one that designed the earth and other bodies and things in the earth to perform as they perform, designed man in his mind to perform as they perform, or as it performs. Now, if we recognize that the earth is not its Lord, if we can recognize that the tree has no tree Lord, shouldn't we recognize that the man has no man Lord? That's common sense, isn't it? Common sense reasoning. Now, these things that you witnessed that were raised by a Lord, a creator, you don't say that they have a tree Lord. You don't say the tree have a tree Lord. The elephants have an elephant Lord. You don't say the sun has a sun Lord. The earth has an earth Lord. You don't say that. Well, why say man has a man Lord? You're thinking on your own. That's your problem. Start thinking on reality. Thinking with the support of reality, not your own mind. Or your mind dreams and exaggerates and become flawed in terms of ability to reason clearly. Yes. You become subjective and make big scientific errors. And subjective means you let the subject come into the logic and affect the logic. So here you're looking at yourself and admiring yourself that you've done so many wonderful things. Look at the wonderful things the Son have done. And once the man thought it was the Lord. But the man grew up to realize it's not the Lord. The Son has heated and given warmth to the life and has fed life all over the planet, given it energy and food, increased its power to grow, huh? Given it more vitality, etc., and made the world so plentiful in life, but not by itself. See, that's the difference in God and things that we make the mistake of identifying as God. The sun does that wonderful work, but without water, it'll be helpless. Right? Sun does all that wonderful work. See, it supplies the energy for growth. But without water, it can't do it. Big old powerful sun need little humble weak water in order to do its job. Right? Yeah. Can't grow a thing without water. Can't have any life without water. So for man too, he's Lord. He's doing all these wonderful things. He increased the land in beauty and richness and in quantity of things?
Yes, he does.
But is he doing that by himself? Just like we have to have water first before we can have life, man has to have the material first before he can have growth for his world. And he's not the God or the Lord of the material that he uses. He's not even the teacher of the material he uses. He doesn't teach the material. The material teaches him. So, you see how his reality is reduced when we start reasoning soundly? Now the big Lord ain't so big, is he? He ain't so big now. Rabbul Alamin, Lord of all the worlds, but the worlds that revelate now, not common, not the common thought now, it is the uncommon thought, revealed thought, a thought influenced by revelation. Now we're moving from the common man's thought to the revelation. Now, okay, so now. God is not only the Lord of these worlds, these physical bodies, but he's the Lord of the system of knowledge. Not just the system of material. The system you're looking at is the system of material. He's not just Lord of that. He's Lord of the system of knowledge. And he created you, man, to benefit from his system of knowledge. And favored you above all his creation with a mind to benefit from his system of knowledge. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, above all the things that he created, he favored man to benefit the most from his system of knowledge. And here you are, you come to the point in your own vanity, you come to the point that you dismiss the existence of a Lord anymore and say that you are the Lord now. We must not see God as the Lord, the God, the creator as the Lord anymore. We must see the creator in man, in the body of man, as the Lord. So God is in man now. And the world is under man now. And the man world is going to be judged by man now. And the world should worship man now. Am I off key? To tell me now. I know we got some Baptist preachers in here. Tell me. I never talked to this many imams without a Baptist preacher in here. So talk back. Lord of all the worlds. Lord of all the worlds. The system of planets. He's not just Lord Evolver of the system of planets. He's Lord and Evolver of the system of knowledge. And the wisest of scientists would tell us that some of his greatest breakthroughs came to him accidentally or by accident. Huh? Yes. But even if it wasn't by accident, if it was by careful concentration, the concentration is the instrument God gave you. That's how you were able to do that. He made that instrument. Hell, if I make an instrument that does wonders and get a patent for it, you going to take credit for it? Just because it's working wonderfully for you? I'll carry it to the court. Rabbul Alamin, Lord of all the world. Now, again, on the level of revelation, you people in the religious hierarchy, in the religious leadership, older people, you have claimed that you are lords. And then here comes another revelation. Use the term Lord. Let us not raise among ourselves lords. Huh? Lords. Say a man among us is Lord. That's what Allah says in the Quran. You see? That the prophet is to address the people and challenge them and appeal to them, to their good senses, and say, you want peace? You want fairness between us? You want a civilized world? Let us not raise up laws among ourselves to put over the rest of us. Well, nobody has been given the right to do that. Okay, you come up with a white lord, pretty soon somebody's going to come up with a black lord. And this problem is going to multiply. So we have the European laws, we have the Asian laws, we have the African laws, now we have the black man of America, the Negro laws, we have all these laws. And all of them disappoint Abraham, peace be upon him. But they look so beauty in that glory. They look so powerful and beautiful in that glory. Oh, magnificent son of man. Oh, I love you. Out of the mouth. As-salamu alaykum. And then pretty soon, march them to the grave. Well, that kind of Lord didn't satisfy Abraham. He said, my Lord is not one that's set. Praise be to Allah. See, this is the beautiful. And we're just talking about one word. Allah says, before you can exhaust what is in the Quran, you will use up all the trees making pens. And the oceans multiplied over again with ink. Rabbul Alameen, Lord of all the world. All this is life. Now, your imam, when I say your imam, I want to say you, because I'm you. You! We are one people and one spirit and one body. You! Separated like planets, our solar system, from Arabs, Italians, Jews, and others. Our solar system birthed this. Yeah. Now, I'm speaking symbolically, you understand. A cup of coffee, well, black coffee won't help you if you take it literally. Yeah. Yeah, I see your prime time with a straight jacket on. I don't want to see that. Yeah. But I'm you and you're me. We are one birth. You know that? In terms of what we are as a Muslim community, we are one birth. My birth and your birth are all together. We're one birth. This is one birth. So out of this one birth has come one now to say something and learn it, Pakistani Muslim, pick it up, and he's thrilled by so much, he puts a drawing in the paper with world. And quotes the man, why do you think Muhammad? That Allah is Rabbul Alameen. Saying that the Imam has brought us to a higher level of understanding regarding this statement, Rabbul Alameen, that he is the Lord of the systems of knowledge. He's Lord of mathematics. Yes. He's the Lord of algebra. He's the Lord of astronomy. He's the Lord of chemistry. He's the Lord of medicine. He's the Lord of everything. He's the Lord of every system of knowledge. They don't believe it? Just examine those who claim that they are the beneficiary and trace where they got it. And you trace it back to the original owner, God himself, the Lord of all the world. Yes. And even say man makes arguments and fails to question his own existence. Made great theories of how the world came in. Don't even know great how you came in, man. So why take this big task of examining the unlimited infinite world when we can just question you where you came from? Were you around here to take care of us 200 years ago? Well, how are you going to be our God, man? We were doing all right before you came. And that's what Allah said in the Quran, that who is the best to judge? He who just popped up or the one that has been around for all time? Oh, Lord, I'm telling you this. Now, after you understand God is that description, then you can understand Alhamdulillah. That's what you should say for that Lord. Alhamdulillah. Why is he deserving of all this great praise? Because he is Lord of all systems of knowledge. And man doesn't praise because he sees trees and animals and things like that. He doesn't praise. The man, the best, the perfect praise, the complete praise comes when man's intellect appreciates what he sees outside. When he's understand that within these things are systems of knowledge. Within everything is systems of knowledge. وَسِعَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمٍ. He incorporates everything, or everything is tied together by systems of knowledge. But not only that, in another place he says, ilman wa rahma, knowledge and mercy. And that's where a man fails sometimes. He divorced himself from the mercy for the sake of continuing blindly on his course with the knowledge. And end up punishing us instead of relieving us. Yes. Urban Renewal was one of those cases, wasn't it? Urban Renewal set out to make man's life better and really punish life. But you know, man is stubborn. Once he goes so far in his path and get a lot of credit for it, he'd rather kill himself, and you too, than admit he erred. I've gone too long now. And too many people have been giving me credit for this. I'll never admit that I made a mistake. Hell, it just happened to suffer. So we will conclude this discussion with that conclusion that we made, that Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Yes, and our conclusion was that revelation is broadcast on two levels, the level of common language and the level of revelation, right? That's its nature, that it addresses the common mind, but also addresses the uncommon mind, the mind that has been trained by the guidance or by the light of revelation, you see? So, and we concluded that in addressing the human being, the common community of human beings on these two levels, it warns us that the creation is not rested. Now, I hope that was the conclusion you came to, the conclusion I was trying to get. That is not really rested. So even for the common man, no. The Lord, the first Lord is evidence that the first Lord is still active in his role as creator. Now, before these planets and these new worlds that they discover out there in the universe were known, that they're being born all the time, Allah said, at every point in time, he is in a marvelous work of creating. Kulli yawmin fan. In a marvelous work of creating things. And we see also in the Quran God pointing to worlds that existed but we didn't know of. Says that there are worlds that he created that you do not know. Isn't that what's in the Quran? Yes, there are the worlds you know, but there are worlds that he created that you do not know. And it took modern science to show us the great big world of microorganisms. In the time of the prophet, it was not known. Is that correct or not? But here it is, just a few centuries after the prophet, science discovers that there is a whole other world, marine life, microorganisms, not only marine life, they exist all in the air everywhere, that we can't see with our eyes, microorganisms. Yes, microbes. And the Quran has addressed it before it was known. This is no accident. This is communication coming from the Lord of the world. No accident. He is the Lord of all the world. And we have made it clear that the person with his insight, common mind, blessed with insight of scientific perception, he made a mistake too. And glorifying himself and forgot to keep his mind on the very material and sources that from which he was benefiting and from which he was gaining a situation for growth of his own intellect. You know, intellect was oppressed. And it was what he found in the natural order God created that gave him a situation for freeing his own intellect. He frees it and baths in the light of his own glory and forgets his humble origin and his dependency. His dependency. While you're boasting, you're just dressed up in dependency. Yeah. You're boasting as independent. You're the boss. You're the God. But the common man with his common senses woman too. It laughed.
Oh, I say it today, Miss Lord. But I never really believed that. For I was God. I never did believe that man was God. You know, he said it, but I never really believed it.
That's that mind, common mind that God created. Your mind has to become unreal before you accept that a man is God or something like that. Your mind has to become unreal. So they have to give you the unreal to convert you to accept the unreal. So they give you a fantasy tale, a story tale, a fantasy story about the origin of things and the creation of things, you know. They give you a lie about the reality of matter and everything, and now you are ready to believe a man is God.